The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 382. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This episode is going to feature two of my passions. Of course, I'm talking about wrestling and comics, as I have a great independent comic book creator who has a wrestling tale to tell each and every one of us. And I'm talking about, of course, the man behind James Ferg Comics, James Ferguson. He is the creator of a comic called A Real Slobber Knocker. And it's about a tag team that works their way up through the indies. They started off as fans, just like many of us, but worked their way up the indies and then got to the big show, so to speak, and unfortunately has a little bit of a tragic decline. So it's going to be three installments. James just had the first installment's Kickstarter. It wrapped up a few weeks ago, but he still wanted to come on, and I'm glad that he did, because it was a fun conversation. I always enjoy talking about wrestling, and especially comics, and especially those fandoms, like, who inspired you to be in comics, and what wrestlers do you enjoy watching or did enjoy watching back in the day? So it's going to be a great conversation, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm going to get right to it after I thank the great sponsors of this podcast, World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about it every single episode about how great World's Greatest Comics is. I'm telling you, it is the bee's knees. I don't know if anybody says that anymore, but we're going to go with it. The bee's knees, man. They got everything you want for your fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds, if not thousands of back issues. They got it all for you. So you need to stop by the store if you are in Central Ohio. Just swing by the store, which they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty darn active in the Facebook page. At WGComics is that Facebook page. And, you know, I say it all the time, but for new listeners, I really honestly appreciate more than words can actually convey how appreciative I am of Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. Thank you so very much. Your patronage, your sponsorship means a lot to me. And again, folks, if you're in the area, stop on by and check out the store. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And then on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with James Ferguson talking about A Real Slobber Knocker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with Mr. James Ferguson. He is the man behind James Ferg Comics and a great comic called A Real Slobber Knocker. How you doing, James?
I'm good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. I'm very excited to chat with you because I love comics. I love wrestling. So whenever you can combine those two on an episode, I get all jazzed up. I get stoked. Let's maybe kick it off here with a very simple question. Can you give a summary of A Real Slobber Knocker without, you know, giving away too much?
Yeah, absolutely. So a Real Slobber Knocker follows two lifelong wrestling fans, Brett and Jake. They're best friends. They came up through the indie scene together as a tag team called the New Kicks. And just when they get their big break in GAW, Great American Wrestling, something tragic happens that's going to splinter them apart. So it's not really spoilers as that, because ultimately we leads to their biggest match against each other sometime down the line. So we actually show that as foreshadowing on the very first page of the comic. So I feel okay explaining that, but the first issue really shows that rise, and we finish up with that kind of a tragic event that's going to tear them apart.
What was the inspiration for the tale?
I realized a few years ago that if you took if you were to make a Venn diagram of comic book fans and wrestling fans, it's practically a complete circle. There's a lot of overlap there. And I got back into wrestling a few years ago, thanks to my brother, Corey, who's been a lifelong fan. And I watched when I was a kid, and then I got back into it a few years back. And since I got back in, I'm like, I got to tell a story about this. Like, it's just such a fascinating, experience, pro wrestling. Like, it's yes, you watch people do amazing things in the ring, but it's the story leading up to it and the story within the match itself that it's all storytelling. That's really what it boils down to. So I wanted to find a story that really kind of I could use that as the lens or frame to tell the story. So Dan Bucks and I, the artist on the project, we pitched for an anthology together for a story that we had developed together about a wrestling story, and we did not get in. We were rejected, but we said, you know what? We both like this story so much, we decided to make it anyway. So it started, it was going to be a 5-page short. And I was like, I was happy with that idea. But then we started working on it and workshopping it and expanding it. And now it's going to be a 3-issue miniseries altogether.
In fact, one of the things I read while doing some research was that you actually brought an editor on board. And
that's correct.
Yeah. And the book seemed to grow. It went from 5 pages to 45 to 90. And I don't know, James, if I've ever heard that, because in my mind and from my experience talking to creators, you bring in the editor, it goes from 90 to 87 to 85. Yeah. It goes the other way. I think you're the first creator that has gone the opposite way.
And hats off to James Powell, the editor on this, because he saw the potential with it. And he's a big believer of the comic should be as long as it needs to be. So okay. He's done that with his own series, House of Fear, where it's, each issue is kind of a different length. But he saw there were these kind of nuggets in the story that weren't uncovered. And the case in point is that there were elements where he went through the script when it was 45 pages. And he said, he would ask questions like, I don't get why this guy's reacting this way, or this seems really like overreacting, or this, like, I don't understand why they're doing this. And then I realized, I would go like, he did this or this. And I realized, that wasn't on the page. That was in my head. That was stuff that just didn't make it onto the page yet. I had been staring at this for so long that I didn't give that the room to breathe. And now we did expand it out, and it also led it to be, instead of just that kind of graphic novella length, now it's going to be 90 pages altogether. It's 3 issues. We have a chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and there's these breaking points in between for each one of those that really lends itself to the single issue setup there.
Okay. All right. That makes sense now. That makes perfect sense. Well, let's talk a little bit about the new kicks, Brett and Jake. Can you talk a little bit about the personality of these two characters?
Yeah, one of the really great parts about making a comic book about pro wrestling is that there's a lot of reference material. So I was like really searching through like all these different wrestlers to think about their looks and personalities. And I put together a lookbook for Dan when we started writing on and working on this, because so like these are the kind of vibes that I was looking for. So really like it's a mix of the Rockers of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty and the Young Bucks. So kind of two different generations kind of coming together there for that kind of style for them. So it's like they're fun, they're lively, bright colors and this kind of stuff. They do some pretty cool stuff in the ring as well. So that's the kind of vibe that they're going for. In the scheme of things, Jake is the better wrestler, but Brett is like the soul of the team. He's the one that calls the shots. He's the one who's invented their finishing moves. He's the one who kind of like really pushes everything along. So that's how the two work together.
Well, I'm going to ask something. You said, when you created a lookbook for Dan, you did some research. Mm-hmm. How daunting was it to do the research? In other words, did you have some ideas about how wrestling worked, especially in the theme of that the new kicks are moving up from the indies, mm-hmm. up going to each level before getting to the big time? Did you have a tough time researching that, or was it pretty simple because, you know, there's a lot of material out there?
There is a lot out there, but I've been to my fair share of, you know, I've been to some WWE and AEW shows, certainly, but what I really enjoy are some like super local shows. There's one over here, East Coast Professional Wrestling, does some really local shows. And actually a buddy I went to high school with wrestles with them. So okay. Every time that they come around, I try to see their shows, and it's like, it's super low budget. They're in like a CYO gym or something like that. So I've seen firsthand, and I love those shows because like you can yell something out and at the wrestler and they'll turn back and yell back at you. Like, you know, you start going back and forth with people like right in the ring. So it's a blast. But, you know, I had experience firsthand seeing that and like, you know, what goes into a show like that. And then just kind of looking a little bit as to like, you know, pro wrestling schools and training centers. I mean, hell, look at NXT with, you know, that kind of performance center vibe. So seeing those different levels and how you go from that super indie or even like backyard wrestling to, you know, the biggest show in the world, you know? So okay. Those were the kind of steps I realized, all right, they have to kind of go through and pay their dues. They're not just going to show up in like a WWE kind of environment and just, you know, suddenly kick ass. They got to work their way up a little bit. We have to show that struggle because that's part of their journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Kickstarter that ended a couple weeks ago. How was your experience with the Kickstarter? Was it, you know, I found out that many people love it or hate it. There's no middle ground.
So I tried to manage my terror with the Kickstarter because like it was the first one I've ever run. So I did a lot of research. I also tried to like manage expectations. We set a reasonable goal of $1,000. And so I felt like, all right, it's not everything we need in order to like totally finish up the book, but it'll get us most of the way there and we should be okay. And we were very fortunate in that the campaign was funded in 7 hours. It did help, I think, that I launched the campaign on WrestleMania weekend. So I felt yeah. that, you know, this is a wrestling comic. I got to launch then because wrestling does not get bigger than WrestleMania. So definitely timed it then. The initial goal was actually to launch it during AEW's, I think it's Revolution, and then mm-hmm. we end on WrestleMania. But I think it was better to launch it on WrestleMania and just go from there. So that worked out well. And then we ended up raising more than 3 times the goal. So now we have a nice batch that, again, it's not going to like complete every single part of the project, but it's going to get us just about every, you know, most of the way across the finish line to pay for the book and get it in the hands of folks later this year.
And that money's going to printing and shipping of the comic.
Yep. And to pay Dan and Matt, our letterer to Matt Krotzer.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Matt and Dan. And we talked a little bit about James as well. You got a heck of a team. It seems that you guys, you know, certainly gelled very well together. So can you talk a little bit about each of those individuals?
Yeah. So Dan and I worked together first on a short called That's Me in the Corner that was published in an anthology called Tales from the Bazaar. And Dan's worked with a bunch of friends of mine, too. So I've been a fan of his work for ages. He did a really awesome werewolf comic a few years back called Howl that when I was doing press for Horror DNA, I reviewed the comic, like completely had no idea who he was. And I remember like he drew a werewolf in this book that like I've never seen anyone draw a werewolf like this before. It just was like brutal and awesome and just like totally blew my mind. And then like, you know, fast forward a few years and I'm working with him on a comic. So it's like kind of crazy there. But we really got along well working on this short together. And Matt has lettered almost everything I've done so far. I've worked with him first I was an editor on a book called Killchella that came out through Scout Comics that my buddy Mario Candelario wrote. And Matt was the letterer there. And then him and I started talking. He's also a wrestling fan, so that helped. So when I was looking for a team, I was like, well, this makes total sense. Like, let's get this team together. So Matt had actually lettered that's the short that I did with Dan as well. So just really getting that team back together there. So it was like a no-brainer to get it all together there.
How'd you come across James Powell real quick, if I may ask? I don't know if you mentioned that.
No. So actually when, so back to Horror DNA again. So like I had reviewed some House of Fear books that he had done and him and I spoke, you know, off and on from there. And then when I was doing editing, I had reached out to him because he's an editor as well. And just kind of like picked his brain a little bit about approaches, how he looks at certain things. And we had a really good conversation. So when I was looking for an editor for this, I really wanted, this is the longest book I've written by myself so far. So I said, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing this correctly. So that's why I reached out to James and asked like, hey, can you like, take a look at this. Is this something you'd be up for? Do you have time in your schedule? And, you know, lined up. And he's been a blast to work with. Really, like, brought out the full potential of this script.
So right now, the Kickstarter's over. And as you said, you're getting things finalized. When can individuals expect to start seeing the book in their mailbox, maybe, shall we say?
Yeah. So we're aiming for September to have everything wrapped up. So Dan is finishing up the artwork for us now. He actually sent over some the thumbnails for the rest of the pages to me today. So I was just looking over those earlier today. Very exciting to see all that come together. And he's going to go through and pencil, ink them, and color them as well. And then Matt will be working on the pages as they're ready for lettering. So it shouldn't be that much more of a delay after Dan's finished with all the artwork. And then we'll wrap up the book and get it printed. My real goal is I'm going to go to New York Comic Con through by Hell or Her Water this year. And that's going to be in the beginning of October. So I want to have that book available, one, to give to any backers I might meet there, but also to use that as kind of a calling card to speak to editors and the like when I go out to that convention. But so long story short, you know, September is what we're aiming for to have everything wrapped up.
Have you, side note real quick, have you ever been to New York Comic Con before?
Yes. I've been there for the past like 12 years. I've gone again. Press. I went there for a while. I live in the suburbs of New York. So for me, that's my like local convention. So I get to go down there and really enjoy that. Last year, I just went as a fan because I was kind of in an in-between time. But this year, I've got a lot more to show for, you know, the comic making work. So that's why I definitely want to have a real Slobberknocker out there as a kind of calling card for that. And I was told you can never print too many issue ones, so I'm probably going to overprint the first issue to make sure we got enough around.
You know, I want to go back to New York City Comic Con. I went one time. I want to say it was around, well, it was about 13 years ago. I think it was right around 2010, I think is when I went. I had a great time. I went with two friends. We got a nice Airbnb in Hell's Kitchen, and we went to the show. We had a blast that entire weekend. I would love to go back, and it's on my to-do list of another convention that I need to go back and revisit because it was so much fun.
Yeah. It's a great show.
It is.
It's funny. I think 2010 was the year before I started going. So we just missed each other in the scheme of things.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I will say this. My only negative thing was I did land in LaGuardia and I had a car service, and my, oh my, that gentleman, he was quite a daredevil driving. I was a little bit frightened, just a little bit.
Well, you did say you were in Hell's Kitchen, right? So I guess that fits.
Yeah. I mean, it was, he was running a few of those red lights real close. So I'm like, oh my, you know, and he was a character too. He was telling me all about all of some wacky stories that went on in that car or that car. Like, okay, I don't know if I need to know all that, buddy, but thank you.
I mean, I love the New York Comic Con because, like, I often get lost when I come out of, like, the subway or Penn Station or something like that. But I never do during New York Comic Con because I just follow all the people in costume and with swords because I'm like, oh, they're all going in that direction. That's where I got to go. So it's pretty easy to figure out. You can't do that any other time in New York. If you do that, you're going to get in trouble.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with James for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system. Basically, they are a phenomenal store is what I'm trying to convey to you. So, you owe it to yourself to check out the store if you're in Central Ohio. Their address is 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and you can even find them on their very active Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. So you mentioned that you're going to have issues 2 and 3 to wrap up the tale. Do you have a rough estimate of when you might start on that? And is there anything you could tell us about those two issues without giving too much away?
So I mean, realistically, I will probably aim for early next year. I kind of want to get a bit more of a head start on the artwork for that one, for issue 2, to get going. I don't know if we'll time it and do this once a year and do it at WrestleMania again for next year. We'll see how everything shapes up by that point. I'd love to do it earlier, but I think it's a matter then of just seeing how far ahead we can get with the artwork and how everything goes with getting everything printed for the first issue. For the rest of them, I can tell you, we have Pete Collins coming back as a variant cover artist. He's the unsung hero for the book, in that he created an awesome variant cover for us for the first issue. And now he's going to be on board for the variants for the second and third as well. He created an homage to old Pro Wrestling Illustrated covers with his, and it just blew me and Dan away. And we're just like, this is so great. And because of how the characters evolve throughout the story, it's a device that we're going to use for the rest of the series as well, because you'll be able to show and tell a lot more about the story just with those covers, and show like how they're changing, how the characters look, and their kind of rise with everything. But in terms of what's to come for Brett and Jake, you know, as mentioned, the real climax of the story is coming with the match against each other. So they you know, these friends turned enemies, essentially. So we see the path of how they continue to splinter and fall apart, and then what will ultimately lead them head to head in the finale of the series. So really excited for it. I mean, like I love good pro wrestling stories. You know, like there's things of, you know, I'm sure you have your fair share of favorite matches and stuff like that, and like moments that, like, you know, might bring a tear to your eye. That's the vibe that I'm trying to like emulate with this. And I know that's like reaching for the sky or reaching for the stars, essentially. But like, you know, I get like, you know, teared up a bit when I look at the end of this story, like reading, like, you know, these moments of like the big epic finale for it. So like, I'm so excited to get through this first issue so that we get to that finale and show everybody. And I can't wait to show, like, what to see what Dan's gonna do with those things. Like, even the thumbnails alone, like there's one like really powerful moment. There's a couple of them, but there's one particular I've really been looking forward to in the first issue. And even the thumbnail that he submitted earlier today, I'm like, oh, this is gonna pack such a punch when this gets all put together and inked and colored. So I cannot wait to see how all those come together, and then just to show everyone this kind of finished package there.
I just thought of this. Some listeners may want to get their hands on issue one. Is there going to be an avenue for doing that? Especially if they didn't jump in on the Kickstarter.
Yeah. So certainly if, you know, when the campaign for the second Kickstarter comes around, we'll have catch up tiers available so you can pick up the previous issue as well. I will make it available on my website, which is jamesfergcomics.com. You know, I haven't even set up the store yet, but you know, I've got a stack of books here now, thanks to the anthologies that I've been in so far. So I've realized I've got, like, you know, I'm not ready to table necessarily, but I've got enough to like have a little storefront on the old website. So, but the best bet, I mean, you could take a look at the Kickstarter page for now. I'll also be updating everything on the website there. And of course, Twitter, because everyone's, you know, I'm still on that dumpster fire of a site a little bit, but you know, James Ferguson on there is the best bet, because we're going to be sharing, you know, progress and everything as we wrap up this first issue.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears for a minute, because one of the things I found interesting while checking out your website is you have a very unique journey into comic books. You were a fan, and then you were somebody that wrote reviews, and then you blogger, and then eventually you had the podcast. So, like, mm-hmm. just walk us through that journey and how you ended up from point A to point B, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no. So I, you know, I've been a fan for ages. I had a pull list at a local shop for a while, and then I realized after moving from one fifth floor walk-up apartment to a fourth floor walk-up apartment on the complete other side of the apartment complex and moving 9 long boxes of comics, like maybe the pull list isn't the right thing for me right now. So I kind of like gave up on the pull list for a little bit, but I had that itch still. So I wanted to get back in, and some buddies of mine were running a horror website, and I asked, like, hey, do you do anything for comics? And they're like, no. And I said, could I do that? And there was like a pause, and they said, like, well, can you write? I'm like, I think so. So like, I submitted some stuff, and he's like, all right, great, here's an email address, go nuts. And I just started reaching out to publishers and building up contacts in the industry, reaching out to creators and the like, and started just making reviews, writing about books that I liked. And then that blossomed into a podcast that I did called Funny Book Splatter that ran for over 100 episodes there, where I just interviewed horror comic creators. And that was fun, and I had always kind of wanted to write my own comics, but frankly it was always like a bit of a fear thing. You know, that imposter syndrome was deep, and it was like, well, I always kind of had the reviews as a crutch. Well, there's always going to be another review to write, there's always going to be another new press release to write up or something like that. So, you know, I always kind of fell back on that, and frankly used it as an excuse for a long time. And then 2021 and the pandemic hit, and you know, had a lot of stuff going on, and in my personal life, you know, I had a death in the family, a lot of things, and I kind of like reevaluated priorities a little bit, and I just kind of put the press hat down for a bit and threw myself into writing. And so I really only been doing this for like almost 2 years. I started in June of 2021 and just started to hack away at it, and then submitting to anthologies and kind of figuring out the lay of the land. And what I quickly realized is writing reviews and writing about comics for over a decade was like a boot camp of sorts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've got a bunch of books on my desk here that tell me how to write comics, but ultimately I know what works in a comic because of reading literally thousands of them and talking about them critically for ages. So, you know, understanding, all right, this is how something needs to be paced, or this is how that payoff will work, or less so about things like page turns, but just understanding, like, you know, how you know, the actions that go into a panel, and how you know, you could make something breathe a little bit more by giving it that extra room and an extra beat. So that's been really fun to kind of explore a lot more, starting with some of these shorts and now branching out into some longer form content.
Well, let's talk about some of your favorites. Let's start with comics. Who are some of your favorite comic book characters, or maybe comic book creators or storylines or whatnot?
Yeah, so Spider-Man's my favorite. I don't know if you could see in the background here, but I've got like a very wide array of Spider-Man Marvel Legends figures. Like, he's my guy. I love Spider-Man. You know, I've loved him since I was a little kid. One of my kids is literally named Parker. So you know, I'm definitely a fan. I couldn't get like Peter Parker Ferguson, but I'm like, my wife settled for Parker, so I'm like, all right, we got one in. So a big fan of Spider-Man. His runs have been kind of hit or miss with something. I mean, like, you. The Clone Saga and Ben Reilly is near and dear to my heart, but I know that that's not the best story. he just looks really cool, I gotta admit. I mean, some of my favorites, definitely. I got back into comics in the mid-2000s. So I was reading, like, it was when Why the Last Man was coming out. Mm-hmm. It was, I just devoured Preacher by Garth Ennis. Ugh. And it was the gateway. Like, I got Preacher. It was like my roommate Anthony at the time was like, read this book, this will get you in. And I was like, I was hooked. I was just like going back. I couldn't like read them fast enough. I would read them and immediately, like, you know, pound down the comic shop door to be like, where's the next one? Let me this next one. So that's really like a one that's great. And I, you know, I'll always have fond memories of that. But like, what I love about comics particularly is that, like, there's something for everybody. So like, I could read something that's totally adult oriented in Preacher, but then like one of my other favorite books, and it's actually turning into I think a Netflix series now, is Mech Cadet U by Greg Pak and Takeshi Miyazawa. It was a really fun 12 issue series from Boom about like this kid who finds a giant robot and like fights aliens. And I was like, it just blew me away. It was like full of heart. It's like a really like beautiful story. And it's like completely different from Preacher or all the horror and blood and guts and stuff that I've read over the years. But like, you know, there's so many different like aspects to it. I've been getting really into manga lately as well, reading like Spy X Family and Chainsaw Man and this kind of stuff. And it's like, there's so many different things that you could do in comics. And that stuff just like really jazzes me about it.
I will share that we talked about my trip to the New York City Comic Con. Yeah. My one goal, James, I had one goal. Is Garth Ennis was going to be there. And I'm like, I want him to sign I have a copy. They're not pristine, but I have a copy of Preacher 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, I want him to autograph these. If I do nothing else this weekend,
yeah,
that is what I'm doing. And I'm pleased to say I had to wait in line about 25 minutes, but I checked that off the list, and I'm very proud.
That's
of
awesome.
That.
That's yeah. Not a bad wait. 25 minutes is great. For a wait.
Yeah, time. it was like, yeah. right around that time. Yeah. It might have been a few before or after, a few minutes earlier, a few minutes later than that. But yeah, it was that was a highlight for me. And I was like, you know what, we're good. I can leave now.
That's it. Sometimes that's all you need. Like, cause sometimes you realize, like, I've done everything I want. Like, what else is going on? I did something similar, although I didn't have a copy of Preacher for him to sign. I just kind of like sheepishly asked him to sign. Like, I had like kind of a sketchbook, and I was like, oh, like I walked by a table at like, I think it was the Avatar press booth, and he was just like hanging out. There was like no one else there. I was like, hey man, would you sign my book? He's like, sure. And he just like quickly initialed the book and gave it back. Like, all right, well, I got that going for me, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I dig about Comic Cons is the energy that's there, and you have the creators. I mean, I share the story, and I don't know if you can see it, but I have the Shield number 4, Nick Fury. I have a copy of one of the covers, and it's signed by Starenko. And awesome. Just meeting him, he had like an aura about him that was like, it wasn't intimidating, but it was like welcoming. Like, come talk to me. I am Starenko. You know what I mean? It sounds really silly, but he was so good at like turning it on you. And he started asking questions about you, like where you're from and why you love comics and all this jazz. And before you know it, before I even knew it, I was like, wait, we're done. Oh God. I was awestruck. Like, I just, wait a minute. I didn't get to ask him any questions. He asked all about me. Damn it. You know? So, but that's the cool part about Comic Cons is meeting these creators and seeing, you know, what makes them tick, so to speak.
Yeah. And what's funny is like, I realized when I've gone to a few of these, I don't know what anyone looks like. So there's often times where like you'd walk by a table and it's like, I don't know if that's the person or if they're just like covering the table for a minute. They're at a, you know, that this artist or writer is at a panel or something else. And like, you kind of like, oh, hey, I love your book. I'm like, thanks. I'm his brother. I'm like, all right. Back later. Thanks.
Well, let's talk about some other favorites, but in the genre of professional wrestling. So who are some of your favorites, you know, maybe currently or maybe, you know, in the past or whatnot?
Currently, Finn Balor has been my guy for a bit since I got back in. Like when I saw him, like we went to the my brother got me back into wrestling. We went to Extreme Rules in Pittsburgh in 2018 for my brother's bachelor party, and I saw Finn Balor. I was like, that's my guy. That's him. Like I'm like he's doing crazy shit. Like, this is awesome. So for him, I was like, I really like what he's just incredible in the ring. I, you know, loved him as a heel, loved him as a face. I was like, he's just the guy. Like, it's just cool too, the audience participation when you get to like raise your hands up like that. I was like, I'm cool. And then, you know, I guess while on the topic of raising your hands up, Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan, another favorite. He was another guy. Like, I saw him and I was like, oh no, I get where he's coming from. I think he's a cool dude. And I followed him for a while and definitely enjoying seeing what he's been doing in the ring. And even now, like when he's like this despicable heel, I'm like, oh, I'm just in. Like, he's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. I'm going to watch this. So definitely a big fan for there. And then back in the day, I was a big Razor Ramon guy. Oh, definitely. Like, he was nice. He was just my guy. Like, you know, again, you see him and I was like, man, this guy's so cool. Like, you know, so like 10-year-old me, I was like, man, I want to be just like him. I'm throwing toothpicks and stuff. I'm like, no, he's just so cool.
Oh, well, hey, those are all pretty solid picks, I gotta say.
Yeah. What about you? What are your favorites now?
My favorites now. You know, I still enjoy Rey Mysterio. He's the greatest of all time.
My brother's favorite too. I get it, man. Like, it's just he's so over. Like, you can't throw him into a bad match. Like, you know, he's gonna do good wherever he goes.
I love MJF because I feel like he's a throwback to old heels. Like, he does not care to be liked. He wants to be despised. And that I think is missing, to be honest, in the modern era of pro wrestling.
Yeah. And it comes back around too, because like, you love to hate him, but then you also kind of like him, and then you feel weird because you like him, and it's like, oh, this, it's just so good.
It was like for me as a kid, it was Ric Flair. Cause like, man, that guy, I hate that dude, but he's kind of cool, man. You know? So yeah, I get it. I get it. Some of my favorites from back in the day, huge Road Warriors fan. I mean, Hawk and Animal.
Yeah, as a kid, that look. Ever.
Oh yeah.
When you look at them, you're like, those guys are so badass. You know.
Yeah. So that was maybe my favorite. I also too. I loved Bruiser Brody as a kid. Mm-hmm. Because to me, there was a lot of realism. Like, I literally thought, this dude is going to destroy this poor guy, and you know, just I bought into it. The aura again.
Oh yeah.
Hook, line, and sinker. So those are some of my favorites. I mean, I love wrestling. Even sometimes when it's bad and I'll bitch and complain about it, I'll still watch it the next week or the couple days later or whatever.
Because it's like a reset there. Like, they carry some storylines and stuff, but ultimately, like, you know, every new show is a chance to win you over or do something different. You never know what's going to, like, catch fire. Like, one of my favorite moments recently was the whole Kofi Mania story. Mm-hmm. Like, that build up to that, and I was at WrestleMania that year, where when Kofi won against Daniel Bryan, and it was just like the roof came off of the place when he won, and it just like that whole build up and like how they, you know, he was getting screwed out of the belt or getting screwed out of the chance to even compete, and then like, you know, being called a B+ player, the parallels to Daniel Bryan's story, like I'm like, this is cinema, like this is beautiful. So I was like blown away by that whole setup there. So that's like the, you know, that's like one of the, like, you know, best moments that I've gone back. That's one of those matches I've gone back and watched a few times just to like relive that moment and everything, and like the camaraderie with the rest of the New Day and stuff. It's just, it's beautiful. That's mm-hmm. wrestling. That's
so right. Funny. All right. Well, let's talk about one final thing here real quick. Do you still have your YouTube channel, Ferg and Sons Reviews?
Yeah. You know, this is one of these things. My kids were like, we want to do a YouTube channel. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to let you just go hog wild and do a YouTube channel. So let's do something together. I had tried to get them when they were first starting to write, you know, to write something with me. And there's some reviews that are on comiccon.com with them, where we would review kids comics or all ages comics together. So we did, I think, 4 or 5 videos, and I edited them and threw them up there. And I'm like, guys, look, we have a YouTube channel. They're like, awesome. And then they're like, let's do another video. I don't feel like right now. I'm like, well, you can't become a YouTube star if you don't actually make this. So yes, it's still there. But it's you know, little slow givings based off of the effort that my kids are willing to put in right now. But like we've read a bunch. I love reading comics with them. I love finding stuff that they dig into, but like, and I even point out like, hey, this is a great book that we can make a review video about. And they're like, yeah, it is. And then like the next day I said, hey, let's sit down and do this. Guys, you're killing me here. So we'll get that eventually. I'm not going to like close it up or anything. I'm also really proud of like the logo that was designed there was made by Joe Hunter. And there's a really beautiful background, like channel page or image that Darren Vogt illustrated, and I was just like so blown away by what he did for that. It like really captures like the energy of what we're trying to go for with this channel. So even if that's all we've done, I'll still be happy with it, because at the bare minimum, like, I got this like cool caricature of me and my kids. But otherwise, it's, you know, well, I'm hopeful to get them, you know, moving a little bit more sooner rather than later.
Well, it'll be interesting. Come back around.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the age gap between them, that like, you know, my youngest was in kindergarten when we did the first one, and now he's almost done with second grade. So it's like, well, this will be interesting to see what, you know, the growth spurt that you see between videos.
All right, James, let's start wrapping things up. Got any new projects in the work?
Yeah. So I have some shorts that are going to be in some anthologies. There's actually one that's going to launch next month. It's not like officially like out there yet, but it's another horror anthology that I have a story in that'll be launching in June. It should be June. Yeah. Some buddies and I are working on an anthology that we'll do a Kickstarter for. That'll likely be the next Kickstarter project that we put together, whether I'm running it or someone else. But we each wrote a story set in this in a unique world where pizza has been outlawed. That was like the only like prerequisite, was that, you know, we had to write a story and using that as like the theme. So we each wrote a different story, and they're all kind of getting illustrated now. Darren Vogt, who I mentioned before, actually illustrated my story. And I started with horror. I got into those kind of things, and I figured I would be a horror guy. But the two stories I'm most proud of are A Real Slobber Knocker and this pizza story, which neither of them have anything to do with horror, but it's just like funny, you know, you never know where these kind of things will take you. But like, these are two stories that like, I am so, so excited about. I can't wait to, you know, share it with everyone else.
Cool. Where can folks keep tabs on you? Like website wise, social media accounts, et cetera.
Yeah. The best bet is jamesfergcomics.com from a website standpoint, but I'm usually on Twitter at James Ferguson. I got there early. So I got my own name without any numbers or anything in there.
I was wondering how you managed to do that. I was going to be 100% honest with you. Like, how did you manage to do that, man?
I got there early. And what's really funny is occasionally I get tagged in like weird stuff. Like there was a guy who was like an indie rapper for a little while, and I was mistakenly tagged in all of his stuff. And I was like, this is not me. And I get there's also like a really good horse trainer in England, and occasionally I get tagged like, great job, James Ferguson, on the horse thing today. And I was like, thanks, you want to buy a comic book? Like, you know, kind of like pivot to it. I was like, I'm not wrong, James Ferguson, but like, you know, that's all great. I'm glad you all like horses. Like, I don't know what to say about this. But he seems to like be really good at his job. So I'm like, really? Well, I'm like, hey, good for you, holding it down at the other James Fergusons out there.
There you go. You're excelling at comics. He's excelling with horse training. There you go.
Exactly. You know what? We each have a lane. That's fine. You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Now I'm going to have to make a comic about horses and just like send it to him or something.
All right, James. With that, any last few more words you want to tell the listeners real quick?
We know that wrestling is fake or predetermined, but we love it anyway. So, that, you know, think about that when you watch something like, you know, Game of Thrones or anything else. You watch that to be entertained. Pro wrestling is the same way. And it's a beautiful thing. So it's definitely worth checking out if you're ever even on the fence about it. It's worth watching a couple matches just to see what's up.
There you go. Said very eloquently. Appreciate it, man. All right, with that, thank you, James, for stopping by and chatting with me. I do appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with James Ferguson talking about a real slobber knocker, his wrestling comic. I really enjoyed talking to James, and I want to thank him for taking some time out of his very hectic schedule to sit down and chat with me. And I hope you enjoyed the episode as well, and there's a couple different ways you can let me know about that. First, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can even leave me a message over on the Facebook or Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. And if you want to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast, well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets like Spotify, like Stitcher Radio, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcasting app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you do use one of those very popular podcasting apps, please rate and review. It pushes me up in the algorithm, and it's very important to me. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of the PVDcast. But there's still two other ways that you can hear this great podcast. First of all, Wednesday nights through the Facebook feed at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook Live broadcast where I play the episode in its entirety, so you can check it out there. And if you're somebody that loves internet radio, I am happy to announce that the PVDcast is on CROC Radio, Croc Radio, out of Kimberley, British Columbia. They're a great internet radio station. I'm glad to be part of the crew up there. And you can definitely check out the PVDcast there as well. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm going to start wrapping things up. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, as I really do appreciate all of your listens and all of your feedback and whatnot. And so with that, I'm going to say I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.